do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm your co-host John, and this is all my fault.
I'm your co-host Kelly, and very little of this is my fault.
I'm your guest, Besha, and like a third of this at least is my fault, if not more.
At this point, I'm going to say definitely at least a third, for sure. Welcome back. Welcome to part two of the Idea Factory Giveaway co-host spectacular.
Special edition.
Well, once again, Besha will get her chance to dig through the archive. But first, let's find out how we've been doing. What's new? What's going on?
I ate a guava today for the first time in my life.
I have to tell you that I'm not even sure that I know what a guava looks like.
I don't.
I thought they were strange, small, very round pears.
Okay.
And they weren't at all. They were guavas.
They were guavas.
And they're weird, but I recommend them.
How does one eat a guava?
I didn't know. So I peeled it because I wasn't sure if you can eat the peel or not.
Uh-huh.
And then I sliced it into sections, which seemed okay.
I feel like I've had it in fruit salad kind of venues where it was peeled. So
yeah,
that seems reasonable.
Wait, you didn't look it up on YouTube or anything?
No, I went in. I went rogue on guava
four times.
Yeah, it was.
This concept is now alien to me.
I know. I didn't text a friend to be like, "How do I do this?
What do?"
I didn't. Yeah, I just.
Oh, they're funny looking.
I just
fruits.
Tried. Yeah, they're strange little dudes.
Pear limes.
Well, yes, exactly. Yes, they look like pear limes.
Huh.
But the skin came right off like a pear.
Okay.
And then it had this kind of grainy texture like a pear.
Uh-huh.
But it had this weird matrix on the inside that was like part goo and part seeds. And you couldn't really eat the seeds because they were really hard.
Mm.
I got one stuck in my filling and that was unfortunate, but worth it because it was a guava.
Yeah.
And you learned.
So yeah, so that is what's new with me.
You now possess knowledge.
Whole new fruit knowledge.
Yeah. Fruit knowledge that I don't have.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, you win this round.
You have surpassed us.
Well, it's about goddamn time.
Oh, dear. I'm looking at images of guava, which is how I know they look like little pear limes. And I'm scrolling down, and they have pink flesh, and they're green on the outside. And I'm scrolling down, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's pomegranates. Guava, guava, guava. That is spam on a banana leaf.
Oh.
Huh. Now, is this Google image search thinking it's the same thing because the coloring is the same?
No, I bet it's mentioned in some blog about Hawaii, is my guess, because of the spam thing.
That seems legit.
Fair.
But it is.
But yeah.
Spam on a banana leaf.
I mean, hey, look, add some rice to that, and you got a party.
It's true.
I'm gonna go on record as a child of South Korean parents.
Mm-hmm.
Spam is actually fucking good, but here's the thing: you don't just open the can and scoop it out and start eating it like a fucking animal.
Yeah.
You take it out, you slice it, and you fry it so it's crispy on the outside,
right?
And it's goddamn delicious.
Yeah, my dad used to cook that for us for breakfast, like right after my parents got divorced and none of us knew what we were doing. So there were a decent number of breakfasts of fried spam and tang.
That is some space age food.
It was, we were very modern.
Then. I stand corrected. The things I thought were pomegranates were strawberry guavas.
Oh,
which
I definitely
like
did not have.
Sounds like insane food crossover that I want to eat.
I've had.
And now that we're talking about frying things, I want to fry it.
Huh.
I don't know. It's been a weird day.
Okay.
I was talking to some friends on Slack, and we got into a discussion somehow of sort of like there was a texture of a food, and somebody described it as like if you took just some iceberg lettuce and decided to pan fry it.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, that's hideous.
Oh.
Like, what other things could you do with food that would be equally wrong? Like, here's your boiled pancakes.
Yep. Ooh.
But then somebody else was like, what about deep frying pancakes? And I was like, well, no, that would probably taste good.
Yeah.
Although, technically, that would probably just be a
fry bread.
Oh, yeah, no, that's basically fry bread. Yeah. Ish?
Yeah.
I mean, sort of.
Hey, Victor.
Oh.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know where we, like,
draw the line there.
Well, yeah, because the next thing out of my mouth at that point was, like, why aren't flat donuts a thing?
But you're
telling me that there was a thing.
Yeah. I mean, well, like, sopapillas are basically flat donuts.
Yeah.
Right? Roughly?
I think so.
Like a little fried circle of dough with some, like, honey or something drizzled on it. I think possibly cinnamon.
Huh.
Or am I just, like,
and
adding cinnamon
sugar.
Because I think that would be delicious?
I think you're reasonable.
It sounds real good.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm lacking is clearly cultural food education.
Well, I'm not saying I'm pronouncing it right.
But there are other peoples on this earth who have figured out flat donuts.
Yeah.
Sopapillas, that looks a lot like fry bread to me. Or funnel cake, even.
Funnel cake.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but funnel cake these days is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Wait, are elephant ears and funnel cake the same thing?
I think...
Or is that a different thing?
Cause I think, like, it's the same process, but they are...
With different shapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I think elephant ears would count as a flat donut.
Yeah, or a fried pancake.
Fried.
We are deep into some knowledge here.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. It's good.
For those of you who are wondering what you've gotten into, here's what's going on in this podcast. This is a show where my friends go through all the dumb, weird, or possibly amazing ideas I've had over the last decade because I wrote them all down. Something I highly encourage everyone listening to do. In the meantime, if you hear one of mine you like, it's yours to run with. I just want credit.
I want a cut.
Yeah. And for the record, an elephant ear is apparently a French pastry in a palm leaf shape or butterfly shape made of puff pastry.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm thinking of, like, the Minnesota State Fair version.
That is what I was thinking of, too, come to think of it. Huh. So,
I don't think...
fuck Wikipedia. Anyway, moving on.
Yes. What is the first item in my giant pile of ideas?
Fedora date containing ads for Mennonist underwear that sterilizes people. common theme in John's ideas.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes. It's a dating. It's a fake dating website meant to lure in.
Mennonists.
Like, yeah, dudes who are MRAs who want to set up their profile, and then they do, and they, you know, like, we seed it, obviously, with spam women, right, who aren't real. And so these dudes flock to it, they make profiles, and as they are trying to reel in these non-existent women, they're exposed to advertising for this really great underwear. And, you know, it's affordable, it's very comfortable, but it also...
For men only.
Yes, for men only. But it also contains compounds that will chemically sterilize them on contact.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was an idea that I had.
This is a lot like the camera for interviewing people at right-wing rallies that sterilizes them.
Yes. Listen, I have a lot of ideas for improving society.
I think that's fair. Good news. Wikipedia has a list of fried dough foods.
Okay.
Oh,
but does it list them by shape?
No.
Not
but you
yet.
Can sort by name or by origin.
Okay.
Or description. Although that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. Yeah.
But they do have little thumbnail photos.
Okay.
What's next?
Lord of the Rings as a disinformation campaign perpetrated by murderous hobbits.
Hmm. Is this in the theory section?
No, this is a... Yes, a story. I'm sorry.
Oh, story.
I thought it was a service.
It's... Okay. It's... this one gets a little bit meta, but I think, yeah, it's a novel that purports to tell the true story of... Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
or like the true story behind Lord of the Rings, which is that, the entire story, Lord of the Rings, as published by Tolkien, is actually, it's a disinformation campaign spread by murderous hobbits. So it makes people want to visit the Shire.
And but all hobbits murderous?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's so Sold. Like so it's so like it paints the Shire as this great place.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's, yeah, that sounds like the place I'd like to visit. Yeah. So then you go, and that's when they murder you.
Are they murdering you for gain or just because they like to murder?
I think hobbits just like to murder in the context of this story. That's just something they like to do. They like to trick people, and then they like to drain their blood. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Maybe it's for trophy. Like I didn't get that far. Right. This is what. So
they have blood sausage for elevenses. I'm sorry. Second breakfast.
Potatoes.
That's what that is. It's just a story outside the story.
Yeah.
That tells. The truth, as it were.
I do love unreliable narrators. Yes. And I love finding out quite late in the game that narrators are unreliable. So, turns out Mr. Frodo cannot be trusted. Yeah. Shit.
Now I'm wondering if, like, that whole war was just them going and invading some innocent, peace-loving country.
Yeah.
Sweet little Mordor.
Yeah. You don't know. All you know is that that's the story that Az was told. Right? So that's... I mean, I don't think I'm the person to write this, but somebody out there is probably the person to write this, and I would like to read it at some point.
Yeah,
I'll read it.
I'd read that.
Excellent.
This just ties in too neatly to both of our last topics. Vampire Angel Pastry Chef Recipe Book.
Please tell me there's something in the notes.
Product. Tag Project Management.
No!
Vampire Angel Pastry Chef Recipe Book. So one way I could see that going is, hello, I am a Vampire Angel Pastry Chef. These are my pastries.
Yes.
It's very matter of fact about being a vampire angel. But also, more to the point, I'm a pastry chef.
I have this strong belief that... YA supernatural romance is missing a species, right? It's vampires and werewolves all the fuck over the place, right? Yeah. And shapeshifters, but there aren't, as far as I know, any major franchises that involve vampires and angels battling.
Okay,
right. I feel like it's ripe for harvesting in that sense, you know, because much in the way that vampires have this kind of like mystique about them, you could easily construct that around winged, beautiful humanoids, right? So why aren't there books where there are like beautiful angels and vampires that fight each other? But I don't know where I got Pastry Chef cookbook from.
Yeah,
I think
no one knows that
was the next.
How does this not exist?
I don't know.
It's surely supernatural. Doesn't that have an angel?
It's got
some demons.
Yes, but I don't remember if vampires ever appeared.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Or if it has, it's been in the middle of a long cast of characters.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you know what this is then? It's a cookbook, but it's got story elements in it.
Mm. Yeah. I can get behind that. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of stories being told in formats other than the narrative.
Yeah.
Epistolary is great, but why not go full recipe book?
Yes. Yeah, as told, yeah, by a vampire angel who kind of, you know, bridges both worlds, but also knows how to make puff pastry.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe vampire angel epic battles take the forms of bake-offs.
Or that, yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, okay, yeah, yeah.
I can't see how it would work, but I don't know how else you're going to work the pastry into the plot, so...
Well, no, it's...
It doesn't even need to be.
Yeah, it's a cookbook. In some cookbooks, you know, like, that are put together by a celebrity chef.
Oh, yeah.
And at the beginnings of some of the recipes, they like to talk about, well, this, you know, is from my grandfather in Tuscany or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it could be like that, but it references a whole fictional chronology. You know, like, yeah, during the Second Vampire War, like, or whatever. Like, something like that. And, of course, I think all of the, like, the... if the pictures of the food are real, but if the chef photo is just an anime ass drawing.
Hell yeah.
Excellent.
What is? I'm sorry, I've fallen into a wiki that I don't know. What even is this? I don't think it's about a real thing. It involves vampire angels, but I think that it's just... you know how there are all these Wikia, like, I'm sorry, fandom?
Yes.
They're usually about a specific show or cinematic universe. I think this is just about spooky shit, and it was started by a 15-year-old. Okay.
So it's a field that's still ripe for the taking.
It seems to be.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the best short stories I read in the last year was, I don't even know if it was short story technically, was either Carmen Maria Machado or Maria Devana Haiti. Sort of pastiche, spooky, very supernatural story of SVU told as episode synopses.
Oh, yeah, that's long as hell.
Did you read that? Yeah. Really more like novella length.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could absolutely make a recipe book out of that. And it could be functional. And there would be pictures of food.
Exactly.
Which I find enliven any story.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll go to DeviantArt and get somebody to draw me an author photo.
Of a vampire angel with really pointy ears. Excuse me. Zombie booty shorts.
Oh, no.
Product. Note says, brains on the butt.
Yes. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's they're booty shorts, and instead of juicy on the back, it just says brains.
I have a friend who teaches high school who did a class trip to D.C., You know, meet your legislators and everything, and her first rule was do not wear clothing that makes you look like a hoe.
Okay.
And section A of that was no pants with words on the butt. And I was like, that's a reasonable, like, low standard for high schoolers to live up to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not... And I appreciated that it was very much about her and not about general societal standards of slut-shaming teenagers.
Right, yeah.
She wasn't like, don't wear a short skirt or don't, you know, get really cute. She was like, don't wear pants with words on the butt. It was more of a make an effort than a don't be a hoe, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I think she could have gone for brains. A fun game to play is bounce off of whoever you're playing the game with. What does a zombie Amelia Earhart say? Brains!
Oh, God.
And then you just keep going. What does a zombie plumber say?
Drinks.
You're getting it. And the worse, the better.
Amazing.
What I'm saying is I would absolutely wear zombie booty shorts, but I don't know, would I have to be a zombie to wear them?
That is that's the question.
Yeah.
Like, is it only for a Halloween costume or, like, you know, do we try to make zombie fashion a thing? What does that even look like?
Zombie sorority girl. Wearing shorts that say brains on the butt.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's this Halloween story.
Oh my God, John. Why don't snoring sleepers wake themselves up?
A question. A question that I have, that I
do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Also, dear listeners, I snore. If I sleep on my back, I snore loud enough that I wake myself up. But it's partly because I can't breathe.
Right,
so.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it the breathing disruption or is it the actual noise? Because I have definitely heard from the other room people at various points in my life, people snore so loudly that I'm sort of like...
How are you not conscious right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've certainly heard people do that kind of like...
Yeah.
And it's not clear how much of it's like apnea versus the noise. I've woken myself up talking in my sleep.
Oh, I have too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember once in like third grade, Tigger was walking down my grandmother's basement stairs in my dream, and I went, Tigger! And woke up and was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if this is a question that's been answered by sleep researchers.
Yeah.
Like, Right, like loud noises wake you up.
But you. But if you, depends on what phase of sleep you're
right,
in.
Right, because so, if you're snoring in the super deep phase of sleep, then.
You're not going to notice.
Yeah.
You know what I've always wondered is why you don't sneeze in your sleep.
Motherfucker.
I've never sneezed in my sleep. You would think at some point.
I mean, because it's technically a reflex.
Mm-hmm. Right? Huh. It shouldn't be something you have control over. Maybe it's... I mean, I assume that the answer is that I just mouth breathe constantly in my sleep. So there's nothing to trigger a sneeze.
Right.
We've got a room full of puzzled-looking people.
As one of my coworkers recently said, it's a real noodle scratcher. You sleep, so do your sneezing nerves.
Whoa.
That's on WebMD. Okay. No, whatever.
All right.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm not gonna do this live. I'm just going to say there's internet assertions that it's not possible.
Huh.
Fascinating.
All right, John, I really have to ask, what is claw game childproofing for pools? It's a product.
Okay.
That's all we got.
Okay.
Claw
Shit.
Game. I'm assuming this is the claw game where you pick up stuffed animals and you drop them and then you win the prize.
And then you win the prize.
Yeah.
And it's okay, but childproofing.
For pools.
For pools.
Is there a claw that picks up the child?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And removes them?
I guess.
But is it any time they get in there, or is it when they get unruly or when they pee?
I don't know. It could be. I suppose it could be configured for any of those things.
That's true.
It would be. It would have to. It would consist of
claw.
Well, there would be sort of like a derrick that goes. You know what I mean? And with like that rolls and then has like it's got wheels and there's a sliding part that and there's the there's
and then
the lowering
it just
part
drops
of the claw.
In and goes poof, poof.
Yeah, and then it picks
hopefully
up the
hopefully it's
kid.
A little less challenging than a claw game.
Because
it's also a moving target.
This would absolutely have to there would have to be a camera with computer vision technology that was able to recognize a child.
Waldos. I wonder if it's just that anytime they look like they might be drowning and goes in and goes poof.
Yeah, it's able to recognize there's thrashing.
Nothing safe. Well, they don't thrash, apparently. It's what you want to watch out for is the kid who is totally still.
Also true.
But I imagine that if I were potentially drowning, definitely the thing that would make me feel safe in the world would be to have a giant claw descend from the sky and scoop me up.
Yeah, presumably, you know, sort of ineptly.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's going to, like, bang into the kid a few times.
Yes.
And you, one of those claws is, you know, just going for the face.
I would say that the tines on the claw would have pool noodles sort of, like, sheathed over them. So
we're not doing the traditional serrated model.
I love the idea that you get your pool claw and then aftermarket you stick pool noodles on the claws. It's like walkers with golf balls on it. They couldn't be bothered to design something that actually worked. So everybody just, you know, you just stick a pool noodle on it. You split it down the side and you go. Yeah.
It's the only way. It's the only way to make them sick.
I do kind of like the idea that it's there to just pluck them out when they're annoying, though. And I propose that you could add that to movie theaters and airplanes and all kinds of places. Mm-hmm, you're like, you know what? Your kid is wailing, and we know they're not happy. We're just going to scoop them up and move them out. Yeah.
There you go.
That'll definitely soothe them. All right, we got time for one more?
I think that we definitely do.
All right. Neural kill switch through cell phones. Are you sure this doesn't already exist?
There was another thing in the notes field for that, is there?
No.
Okay.
Neural kill switch through cell phones. Service. Not a product. It's a service.
It's a service. It's crap, really? Okay. Okay, hang on. I think I must have lifted this part of this notion from that Stephen King book, Cell, mm-hmm. which starts great. And but like Stephen King had this period for a while where he would start a book awesome and then completely shit the bed at the end. And this was one of those. At the beginning of it, yeah. So okay. So I think my idea is similar to, but worse, in that there is like maybe there is a tone. Or a series or combination of tones or a waveform that when you listen to it, it just shuts your brain off.
Okay.
And you can deliver it through phones. So that, you know, like this would require somebody to either, you would either have to force the sound into their phone. Okay, yes. You distribute it like through the through the operating systems mm-hmm. of your phones and make it kind of like an Amber Alert or something where it's sort of like it's a preloaded tone that they all have, but it's secret. It's like hidden in there. Mm-hmm. It's not an option you can select. But if you have like the right keys, you could backdoor into their phone and cause it to be a thing that it just emits, and then whoever is within hearing range of it just goes down.
I feel like he stole this a little bit from Snow Crash. Except that's code, man. Programmers.
I did read Snow mm-hmm. Crash, but it was a long ass mm-hmm. time ago. That was a thing?
It's code that people who can read code, who understand it, sort of go blank.
Okay. Yeah, no, this is definitely just a sound.
General populace.
I have a lot of nefarious ideas, I suppose.
You do.
But you know what? These ideas were all written down with no editing. So you're going to get different sides of my brain. That you're going to get different sides of the old idea factory here. And that's just how that's going to go.
Here's the deal. That's the deal.
The parts of the factory that OSHA is not allowed in.
Yeah. That's the second set of books.
Are we good? Have we reached the end of the... Oh, excellent.
I think
excellent.
We're good.
This is great. Because that means that we have now reached that time where one of us gives a terrible recommendation or we showcase an idea from our guest.
I have an idea. I would like there to be different flavors of mouthwash. Because right now there's only mint.
Or wintergreen, maybe, which...
Like, why is there no pickle-flavored mouthwash?
I was going to say, there was cinnamon for a while there.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
But then it went away.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Maybe there is no market for this and that's why it doesn't exist. But, I feel like,
I could go for it. Yeah, I always loved getting fluoride as a kid. Strawberry flavored.
Yeah. I feel like vanilla mouthwash would go over pretty well.
Yeah.
Huh.
I wonder if some of it is that they use a lot of menthol in it to make it feel tingly and clean, and therefore it's got to be mint.
Yeah, but I mean, you could
There's no reason.
Arsenic in, that would tingle. Or baking soda,
citric acid.
White powder is
a tingly winter fresh strawberry flavor would feel very weird.
That would
and I want to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Blue raspberry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Do it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Well, perhaps it's now time for us to tell everybody where we're going to be found on the internet.
I am on Instagram as @enthusiosity.
I'm on Twitter as Besha.
As for me, thanks to my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter, you can find links to my Twitter, Instagram, and highly entertaining newsletter all in one place at flavor.country. Go there now.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to this show by searching Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcatcher of choice and let John know if it doesn't pop up. If you're already there, go ahead and leave a 5-star review or a rating and or a nice review and or a rating and or a review. It would help us out a lot. If you've already done that, all 7 of those things, why not tell a friend about it?
Thanks. And remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
I want to cut.
And one of the reasons you don't sneeze when you're asleep is that so many of your muscles are locked down, which makes sense.
Facts.